Welcome back to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. For friendly expert tax advice whenever you need it, come to Donahue Accounting Services. A leading accounting firm in Cincinnati, Ohio, our top-notch accountants strive to help you resolve all your financial and tax issues. Call Donahue Accounting Services today for a free consultation at 513-528-3982 or visit online DonahueAccountingService.com. I'm your host, Alex Meacham, former Bearcat basketball player from 1997 to 1999, under the Hall of Fame coach, Bob Huggins.
And I am Neil Meyer with the Front Office News.
And I'm JT Smith, editor-in-chief of the Front Office News.
All right, fellas, we're back for another episode. Let's jump right into it. The Bearcats are currently 20-14 and went 2-1 in the Big 12 Conference Tourney. JT, thoughts on the Bearcats' performance?
Honestly, I thought they held their own. Didn't want them to be down by 16 to West Virginia, but, you know, to do that and then come back and win, I thought that was huge. To dominate a Kansas team, no matter who was playing, they could have played down to them not having their top two players in, and they dominated them. I thought they played against Baylor very well, especially the first half, maybe about half of the second half. Honestly, though, like I know – you know, people will say you can't make excuses, but the refs definitely jobbed them in the first half. They kept it very close. So when Baylor got hot, it was too much for the Bearcats. But honestly, man, if the refs would have called it semi-fairly in the first half, I think the Bearcats would have been up by 8 to 10 points, would have been able to eat that pause, that run by Baylor. I think they would have been on. I don't know if they win. I don't know, but I think they have a better chance and they don't lose like they do if refs call it a little bit more fairly. I mean, you know, Z's got – I mean, his second foul was just total BS. Didn't even touch the – I mean, the dude tripped him, and they fell over each other. They called it on Z's, and it was just crazy. It was a lot of other plays that I just didn't – I thought were non-calls and people were getting foul calls. So, I mean – you know, you can complain or whatever. You still got to play, but I mean, you know, Wes and them aren't going to complain about it. But I mean, I'm here. I watched the game. I mean, I watched a lot of basketball. I thought the refs did a terrible job in the first half. And against a team like Baylor, you can't happen with the Bearcats. They're not good enough to be able to beat the refs and Baylor, because the Baylor Bears are a hell of a team. So, you know, it's just they came up short, but I think they held their own in the Big 12 tournament.
Yeah, for sure. And JT, if you were to grade the Bearcats' performance in the Big 12 conference tourney, what would you grade them at?
I would give them a B.
B?
Yep.
Okay. Not bad. Neil, your thoughts?
Yeah, overall, I thought it was a tremendous performance in the Big 12 tournament. Obviously, despite trailing 16 to a West Virginia team who you blew out 35 just days prior, I don't think anybody expected them to be down 16 to West Virginia. And then the rally back. I mean, Wes Miller has always said this season, it's about how this team responds. And they responded versus West Virginia. I mean, you're trailing by as much as 16. You come back and then you get a gutsy win down to the final buzzer. But in that game, let's talk about CMOS, Lukosius, and Dede Thomas. I mean, 31 points from CMOS, 29 from Dede. That was an electric showing from Lukosius and Dede Thomas. But overall, I don't think we have seen any Bearcat duo in recent years put up a combined 60. So it was great to see Dede Thomas really find his shot there versus West Virginia. And then you turn around and you beat Kansas by 20 the following day, despite not having Hunter Dickinson and Kevin McCullough. Anytime you can beat Kansas by 20, not many teams in all of college basketball can say, hey, I beat Kansas by 20, especially a Bill Self Kansas. So overall, that was a positive to take away. And then overall, just the Baylor, I think finally it was a lot of people kind of questioned this. It's never easy playing that many games in 72 hours was what that time frame was. They're on their third game in 72 hours. JT, you mentioned it. I thought the foul calls were a little iffy. I will say that. It was kind of like a touch and go pause by any kind. It just seemed anytime Baylor got downhill and attacked, even if there was like a slight contact, it was a foul. And there was a significant margin in the free throw difference in that one as well. I mean, we're looking down at the stat sheet right now. You look down, Baylor shot a combined 22 free throws. Cincinnati shot just 9 in that game. So overall, I mean, it was, I definitely thought it was a lot more whistle happy in the Baylor game. But that's a tremendous performance out in Kansas City. Obviously, I was out there firsthand to see the tournament run, cover the tournament run. But it was not everyone knew it wasn't going to be an easy task to get to the Big 12 conference semifinals or even the finals, just due to how many days you had in a short time frame with how they were seeded. They would have had to play 5 games in 5 days. That's never easy. That's the worst part about a conference tournament, is you never really get time to scout. And Wes Miller even said that was the Baylor plays that unique zone, and they didn't really have much time to go over it. I mean, obviously having the 9:30 tip-off time was an absolute, it was kind of a brutal draw for them. I mean, yes, they avoided Houston in the top half of the bracket, but in the end, I mean, by the time you leave the arena, it's a little after midnight. Then you have to go home and just wake up early, get your preparation, your rehab in. So overall, it was just the fatigue, I think, was starting to settle in. And that was it. Finally, just the fatigue wore down. But overall, it was a tremendous showing. Dan Skillings was phenomenal throughout the conference tournament. I thought he really took his game to the next level. Simas Lukosius, Dede Thomas stepped up when needed to the most versus the West Virginia team. And it was great. It was great to see Simas and Dede really have that success that they had in the opening games of the Big 12 tournament.
Quickly, Neil, tell us about your experience at the Big 12 conference tournament.
Yeah, it was a great experience. Honestly, what Brett Yormark and his staff are doing with the Big 12, it's very, very interesting, but it's very well understood of what he is trying to get across through the conference and what he is doing. They upgraded a lot of premium seating on the floor. So overall, I will say this, it was a whole different experience compared to the AAC tournament a year ago. AAC tournament, you maybe had 500 fans in the stadium, in the arena for a game, but T-Mobile Arena was packed. Like there was, I think it was the second day, the Iowa State game. It was basically a sold out T-Mobile Arena for the last 4 days of the Big 12 conference tournament outside of the first day. Like they were packing it in. Like at one point I kind of looked around and I believe I took a video of it during one of the other games. Like T-Mobile was packed, but I will say this, Iowa State fans were unmatched. It felt like they went in there and made it a home game. I'm sure you guys saw the videos and stuff outside of them, outside KC Live and them in the arena, man, they took over Kansas City. And it was like, that's a 10 plus hour drive if I recall. And they made it a home game. But overall, it was a great atmosphere and a lot of good support systems out there. But overall, it was a great experience. It went by quick, but overall, it was a great experience.
Did your cat just chime in, Neil?
Yeah, they did.
Okay. It has something to say, huh? You didn't take your cat to Kansas City, did you?
No. Oh,
okay. All right. A couple things I have. First of all, the West Virginia game. You know, obviously it sucks to get down by that much, but I think one thing with that game, microcosm of this season, is how resilient this team is. And I think resilient is a great word to describe this team. They never stop playing. Even being down 15 plus in games, they don't think that's too much to overcome. They just battle back. The Kansas game, you know, they did what they should do. And when anytime a team has two of the better players out, you should take advantage of that. I always have a saying, a wounded dog is a dangerous dog. So being that, sometimes what happens is when your better players sometimes are out, you have other guys that are easily capable of being double figure score, being very productive. They step up and they have amazing games and you never know. So I was a little concerned from that standpoint that, hey, a wounded dog is a dangerous dog. So down a couple guys, maybe some other guys are going to step up and really show out, but the Bearcats did what they were supposed to do and beat them. And then the Baylor game, I was proud. I mean, I turned the game off. Of course, I wanted us to win. I think we were, what, Neil, were we up two at half, right? And then, yep. Right? You know, I thought they played well. Listen, you know Baylor, they're one of the most productive offensive teams in the Big 12, right? And yep. you know you get down, but you know they're gonna have a run. I remember when we played Duke in the Great Alaska Shootout, we go by about almost 19 points at halftime, and Huggs kept saying, "Look, Duke's a good team. They're gonna come back." The difference is at the end of the game, we need to have more points than them on the scoreboard. If it's one, if it's two, it doesn't matter. We win the basketball game. And so, you know, Baylor's going to fight back, and they did. And I saw so many great signs in this tournament. I've seen a lot of great signs during the season, and something we're going to talk a little bit later about, maybe some needs this team has to kind of take them to the next level. Definitely proud to see CMOS and Newman and Day-Day have some big games during the Big 12 tournament as well. Now, the Bearcats take on San Francisco on Wednesday at 9 p.m. in the beautiful Fifth Third Arena. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. Let's jump right into the Big O segment sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. In this segment, we cover players to watch in key matchups. JT, who do we need to look out for from the Bearcats? Let's see if you get this right.
Yeah, man. I'm going with Dan Skillings, man. I just think he's been playing well, been super consistent. I just think he's going to ride the wave right into another good game, man. I mean, he's always grabbing rebounds, getting to the rim. So I just think he'll, you know, just keep showing his growth paws that during the season, you know. So I think, you know, you get these late games, you get more practices. I think it's just going to be something that helps the team overall, you know, for the future. And I think I want to see Dan have 14 plus, you know, at least five rebounds, a couple assists, and grab a steal and a block.
Okay. So, I the more I watch Dan Skillings, we've talked about this all year, JT.
Yeah.
And I think it was really prevalent in this tournament run that they had. Man, he just has moments of absolute brilliance. And I can see NBA written all over him. And then There are just moments of, man, this guy's still learning the game of basketball.
Yep.
You know? It is. But, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. No, I'm saying it is. Go ahead. My bad. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, all good. So, you know, and the moments of brilliance is just what – it's just like in, you know, I don't play golf, but I hear that, you know, when someone – you know, you can play, I don't know, eight holes in pause and play terrible, and then you could have one great drive, a couple great putts, and it just keeps you going back to the game, right?
Yeah. And
I feel the same way with Dan Skillings, like, sometimes you get frustrated. He throws some passes sometimes, and you're just like, oh, man. And then he does just something that's just brilliant. And you're like, yeah, you got me back. Come on, Dan. Like, you know what I mean? So I still think he's the guy of all the guys on this particular roster that, you know, could eventually be that NBA guy, impact guy in the NBA one day.
That's super fair. For sure. And like you said, we've seen glimpses of it, man. Like you said, he does stuff that makes you scratch your head, but you know, he was young at basketball, and then he does some stuff you're like, sheesh, you might be the only one that can make that play. You know, yep. So yeah, man, his junior year, man, I think it's going to be very, very, very good for the Bearcats, which is a good thing.
Yep. You know what it reminds me of a little bit? Obviously, different players, different positions. But when Kenyon Martin first started out for the Bearcats, you know, you could just see so much potential. And it was just like, man, wait till Huggs really gets this guy to get in the weight room and learn the nuances of the game. And
yeah.
And I think the thing about Kenyon that was so great about him is his willingness to learn and want to be great. And I know Dan Skillings pretty good. I don't know if I know him well enough to say, you know, he has that same drive as Kenyon, but I know he's very driven. Hopefully he has that or at least reaches one day that level of wanting to be great and be one of the greatest to ever play for the Bearcats. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you were to practice with Kenyon Martin, he would let you know, I'm going to be the greatest to ever play here. You know, he talked the talk, and he sure did leave there as one of the best to ever play there. Neil, who do we need to watch out for in San Francisco?
Yeah, before I jump into San Francisco, Meech, something I missed on in the Kansas City recapping their experience. Do you guys want to guess how many fans were in attendance? I'm looking back at the Baylor attendance, and you guys will be blown away by the number.
What's your question? The attendance for
did
what?
Did you guys see the attendance record for the game versus Baylor out in Kansas City? Did you see what the total attendance was for that game?
For the Bearcats versus Baylor?
Yep, Bearcats versus Baylor game.
No.
Nope. JT, did you see it?
No. Nope.
So the number of people in attendance, the exact number was 19,135. That is basically a packed out T-Mobile Arena. And comparison to that, I don't think Cincinnati has played with basically 20,000 fans in a stadium in I don't even know how many years. So that was another impressive.
What was the breakdown of those fans, Neil, while you were there?
Most of them were Iowa State. Most of them were literally Iowa State, Kansas State, or Kansas. I was kind of surprised by how Kansas State's fans didn't stay around after they beat Texas, thinking maybe they would root for Cincinnati to beat Kansas, but they kind of all hit the doors early. So disappointed by that aspect, but most of them were from those three schools.
Okay. All right. Listen. You're the best conference in America deserves a packed house to see that many good teams.
And that was on a Thursday night at 9:30 p.m. 20,000.
Wow.
So throw that into perspective. I don't think the American had more than 1,000 people there for a game this whole conference tournament.
Hey, Neil, let's keep it real. ECU didn't have that many fans for the entire year, JT.
No, that's probably factual.
No, they didn't. ECU or Tulsa, one of the two.
Yeah, but overall for heading into San Francisco, man, they're a three-point shooting team. Everyone kind of, if you've done your extensive research, they love to shoot the three ball. They're sitting 23-10 on the season, 11-5 in conference play out there in the West Coast Conference. But this is not a team where people really should look over and think, okay, this should be an easy win for the Bearcats. I mean, this is a team who only lost to Gonzaga by 2 in the regular season, lost to 4 to St. Mary's just a couple weeks ago. They're a very impressive team, to say the least, but they live and die by the three ball. They're shooting 37% from three as a team, 49% as a team from field goal throughout the season, shooting 49% from the field as a team. But they're led by 6'8" forward Jonathan Mogbo, who's averaging 14.5 points per game and nearly 11 rebounds. He's the guy that makes this San Francisco team really go. He's shooting 65% from the field. And matter of fact, he has only attempted 1 three ball all season long. So he will live and die around the paint. But this is a game where I think Aziz Bandego, Victor Locke, and Jamil Reynolds, whoever it may be in the front court, could have a very good matchup on their hands. But I think the Bearcats' height could really kind of eliminate a guy like Mogbo. And then guard Marcus Williams, 46% field goal shooter. Leads the team in three-point attempts with nearly 150 on the season. So he loves to shoot the three ball, and he's shooting 36% from deep, but he's averaging 15 points a game roughly. So overall, this is a team that has three scorers above scoring 10 or more points a game, but they are a team that will willingly spread the ball when they have to, really make you play to their advantage, which is shooting the three ball. And if Cincinnati can come out and really defend the three, like they did versus West Virginia, like they did versus Baylor, if they can defend the three ball, I think that's going to be the biggest difference maker here. But I was looking at the interesting fact was looking at this San Francisco lineup, the roster. This is not like a typical West Coast Conference team where they're looking at it and saying, oh, they have smaller guards, smaller players. You look down at their roster, Meech, I know we've already looked at the roster for the name game segment, but their shortest player is one of their point guards at 6'1". Everybody else on their roster, 6'8", 6'8", 6'9". There's one guy, I believe, 7'3". So overall, they have the length, the size to really play with Cincinnati, but it's going to be a good game at Fifth Third Arena on Wednesday night.
All right, you know what time it is. All right, Bearcat fans, it is the name game with Neil Meyer. This is where we take the opposing team that the Bearcats play, and we have Neil try to pronounce the names of the players on the roster. Hey, Neil, we're just going to stay with this San Francisco team.
You ready? Looking down at this roster, I frankly don't know if I'm ready, to be honest.
I saw it and I said, this is good. I like this. Let's go with number two.
Number two, Saba Gijabaria.
Ooh, get your groove on. Now pronounce where he's from.
He is from Tbilisi, Georgia.
Tbilisi, Georgia. I don't even know. That's ludicrous. I don't know where that is.
He transferred from Georgia Tech, so.
Yeah, but that part of Georgia, I don't know where that is. Number five.
Number five is Mike Sharavajumps.
There's no way that's how you say that name.
Nope, it's definitely not, but that is a.
There's no
a
way.
B, a J, a M, a T, and an S all in one. Yeah, there's no way we're getting that one right.
Well, shit. Pronounce where he's from.
Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia.
And he transferred from?
Dayton. Anthony Grant's Dayton squad.
How about that? Dayton Flyer. Number seven. Let's try that last name there.
Stefan Todorovic. And he transferred from SMU as well. So a lot. This is a team that's built off of transfers, basically.
Yeah. Yep. Let's go with somebody you said the last name. I really enjoy the last name. Number 10.
Jonathan Mogbo.
Mogbo. I kind of like that last name. Let's go with number 30. Oh, I'm going to have fun with this one. 33.
Bolo Dimer Markovetsky.
Ooh, say that first one again.
Bolo Dimer.
Dimer.
From Truskavets, Ukraine.
Dang. He's from the Ukraine, huh? Hey, by the way, got a neat story coming out. We've got a kid that's joined my AAU basketball program. His name is Vlad, and he is from the Ukraine. Vlad is a Ukraine war refugee, and he just got to the United States 5 months ago. And there's going to be a story on him on Channel 12 about his journey to America. Speaks four different languages. And I'm telling you right now, he can hoop. He can hoop. Man, I love this kid. His English is like, it's okay. Parents don't really speak English. A crazy story. Gets dropped off in Cincinnati, Ohio as a war refugee. And he's playing basketball, man. I can't wait for the story to come out. But anyway, he's from the Ukraine, so that's why I thought of that with number 33. So let's jump on to number 35.
Number 35 is Junji Wang.
Junji Wang. I think is it Wang?
Wang Wong. I think if you could pronounce it either way, I feel like.
Is that right? You gotta look. And where's he from?
Egsu, China.
Dang. I would love to go to these places where these people are from.
Yeah, looking down at this roster, I mean, you're looking at it from top to bottom. You have somebody from Mongolia, Serbia, Australia, England, Ukraine, China. And that goes back to what we talked about on one of the last podcasts, Meech, about how a lot of teams are going overseas to get some of these top prospects and top players.
No question. Why? And Neil, listen, I think there's several factors in that. I think one, a lot of these European players and players from other country Skill wise, they're far more advanced than, you know, some of the players here in the States. Maybe not as athletic. Like you look at a Dan Skillings, you know, we've got that in America. And then, you know, you go overseas and you've got guys like Luka, Ginobili, Tony Parker that, you know, may not have that talent level, but are just super skilled. And then NIL, I don't know that the people coming from overseas are looking for as much with the NIL specifically compared to the kids from the state. So I think there's some of that going on. And then recruiting, it's tough. I know. So the old San Francisco coach, Todd Golden, he's now the University of Florida Gators coach. But when he was at San Fran, a lot of the players that he had, and still I think there's some carryover from – I mean, I think the new coach for San Francisco has only been there 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. I think his name is Chris. I can't remember his last name, but
– Gerlifson.
What's his last name?
Gerlifson.
Yeah, and he's only been there 2 years, right? So I think that's right because Todd's been in Florida for
– Yep, two years.
So – you know, he's got some carryover guys from Todd's staff. Now Todd's at University of Florida, and he's got all the – he's getting foreign players in left and right. So, I mean, how many do we have on the roster for the Bearcats, foreign guys?
That's a good question.
How many do we have? JT, we got CMOS. No, we got more. No, we got CMOS.
We got CMOS, Vic.
Aziz.
Odie, my account or the Odie account?
Odie's from
North Carolina.
Yeah, but his family's all from Africa, right?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Z's, Vic, and CMOS, right? For sure.
Yeah. So and listen, I assume there'll be more. There'll be more to come. Just the way things are going. But anyway, those are some good names from San Francisco roster. That was a good one, Neil.
That was a tough one.
I know. Some that let me look at that again. We might have to put some of those in the name game March Madness bracket play we're gonna have to have. So let me see who would who won this San Francisco. What was the one guy's name? Number 33. Yeah. 33 for sure. The young man from the Ukraine. He's definitely going to make the March Madness bracket. You agree with that, Neil?
Yeah, absolutely.
You think they just call him Volo?
I don't know. That's a great question. I bet you they do.
Got to call him Volo for short. Got to. The Big O segment is sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. Hey, so I'm going to go with for my player to watch for this game, I'm going to go with John Newman, and here's why. I think when you look at games, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit more in the next segment, but when you look at games like this and you get towards that end of the season when it's just do or die, I think that's when your seniors and your players that are kind of on this is like their last opportunity. They're on the way out the door. This is their time to shine. So I think John Newman's going to have a good game on both ends of the floor. I think I could see him being aggressive offensively, getting to the basket, defensively heating it up, getting rebounds. And plus, John Newman, man, he's just loved at Fifth Third Arena. And I don't know if you guys saw, but after Senior Day, they had to pull him out of the arena to take him back, go back to the locker room. I mean, he was talking with fans. He was taking pictures. And he needed to get back to the locker room. So I could see him kind of wanting to have a great send-off at Fifth Third Arena. So I'm going with my guy, John Newman. The Big O segment is sponsored by Smart Dog Solutions. Do you have a business that needs better inventory control, production management, or improved accounting control? Outgrown QuickBooks or can't afford NetSuite? Give loyal Bearcat grads Doug and Kathy Jacobs at Smart Dog Solutions a call. They have been in your position and would love to help you solve your problems. They can be contacted at 513-739-9473 or online at smartdog-solutions.com. And by the way, real quick shout out, Doug and Kathy Jacobs, who own Smart Dog Solutions, their son Gavin, who is a student at the University of Cincinnati, also went to Bishop Fenwick High School, is helping coach one of our AAU teams this year. So I'm really, really glad to have Gavin aboard. Great, great young man. So shout out to the Jacob family. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. The Kenyon segment is sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. This is where we cover the keys to the game. JT, what do the Bearcats need to do to win?
Okay, so they got to control the three-point line both sides. Like, I think they have to shoot good threes themselves. And the San Francisco team likes to shoot threes. They got to keep them under 35% and then take care of the ball. I want to see them have less than 12 turnovers. I've watched the San Francisco team play. They're not bad at all. This is a very good team, but the Bearcats are way more athletic than them from top to bottom. So I think they just can't they have to just play smart, but play their game, but be under more control. Don't try to thread the needle, the sound pass. I think they'll be okay because, you know, this is a bigger team, honestly, but that's from Neil said, they only have one person that's, you know, one person 6'1", everybody else is taller. So this team has size and they just have to be smart, win the rebounding battle for sure, and take care of the ball. Don't shoot themselves out of the game per se and allow San Francisco to shoot themselves into the game. So I think John Newman, you know, Day-Day, Jizzle, they have to just, you know, cause a lot of havoc on a defensive end, and I think the offense will come to them.
JT, do you worry at all sometimes when you play a team, sometimes their strength, you just naturally playing the game, want to play into their strength? For example, San Francisco likes to shoot threes, and they shoot threes. So then let's start shooting threes. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, sometimes you play a team that plays fast, so it's like, well, let's start playing fast. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And I don't think we want to get into that type of game with them.
No, nope. And the Bearcats can fall in love with three sometimes. So it can be interesting. It can be a little scary. This one's going to be I think the Bearcats are the better team overall, but at the same time, this team, Cisco team, if the committee showed that conference a little bit more love, I think they would have made it. I think they were the third best team in that conference. So this isn't a pushover at all. So they have to come in there ready to ball and they got to play within themselves per se.
No doubt. JT, lastly, real quick, what do you think? Cause you're kind of the expert on crowds, right? You know, ECU, Temple, you like talking about crowds. Yeah. What type of crowd do you think we'll have at Fifth Third Arena?
Bearcats, I think it's going to be a good crowd. Okay. I feel like last year the NIT was very good. This year, I know people are probably pissed that they didn't make it. And we could talk about the, you know, Nets and the Kempoms. And if we just being real, the Bearcats lost some games they shouldn't have lost. And if they would have won those games, they would have been in it. They would have made it still. So that hurts, but I think next year they just have to schedule, you know, a little bit better, you know, a couple of other tougher teams out in a non-conference because the committee showed there's a few teams that, you know, took the easier route and they got burnt for it as well. So, but long story short, they can't let the disappointment of them not making a big dance, you know, show up again for these kids, because these kids, young men, I'm not going to call them kids. Young men, they were resilient all year, playing in the best basketball conference in the world, at least in college. And they never backed down. It was time she thought the season it was going to tailspin. They never allowed that to happen. So I think Fifth Third is going to show that, reciprocate that to them one more time, possibly two more times.
Neil, can the Bearcats win big? And if so, how do they do it?
Yeah, I definitely believe they can, but they're going to have to do a few things well, and that's one is defend the three-point line. I think this is going to be a good game, as JT mentioned, for guys like John Newman, Day-Day Thomas, Jizzle James, really defend the perimeter. I think that's going to be the number one focus heading into this one. But also, they got to find a way to contain Jonathan Mogbo. I mean, that is something that has given them some trouble throughout this season. I mean, Jesse Edwards in the first opening game of the season gave Cincinnati a lot of trouble in the paint. Mogbo's a similar player to what Edwards is, just a couple inches shorter. So he lives and dies in the paint, but it's going to be interesting if the Bearcats' height and size and their physicality can keep him off of the boards and within to single digits in the scoring category. And then overall, the biggest emphasis, get to the free throw line. I think that's been something that's been a bigger focus for Wes Miller in Cincinnati as the season has moved forward. But in the Baylor game, they only shot just 9 free throws. Obviously, they are looking to get downhill and attack and shoot more free throws. I think that's going to be a big thing, is try to find a way to get to the free throw line. If you can shoot at least 15 to 18 free throws or even more, I think you'll be in great hands, and then limit the turnovers. But also, it's going to be an interesting crowd too, because it is such a late tip off. But I think the fans will be there out and support these guys throughout a potential. Hopefully it's not the final home game of the season, but even so, they just released the ticket prices. $35 for a suite ticket is not bad. And then $25 for a lower seat back seat. And then $20 for any fans who never got to experience the student section. That's not a bad deal either. So yes, it is a late game. I know a lot of people work on Thursday morning, but overall, I think it's still going to be a pretty impressive crowd at Fifth Third Arena on Wednesday. But hopefully it ends in a Bearcats W, but there's still some things they got to take care of, and that is definitely relying on defending the three ball, limiting their turnovers, and getting to the foul line. I think if they can do all three of those, I think they'll be in great hands.
If the Bearcats win, Neil, is their next game at Fifth Third Arena again?
Yeah, it should be at home, because the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds in each side of the bracket host the NIT tournament games. So if they win on Wednesday, they will host again either on Saturday or Sunday.
Okay.
And first then the winner of Bradley and Loyola Chicago.
Okay. And at what point do you go to Madison Square Garden? It's still at Madison Square Garden?
Nope. It's at Hinkle Fieldhouse this year. It's at Butler.
It's the at final. Okay. Did I miss that? Was it at Hinkle last year?
That's a great question.
I don't think so. It's closer this year. Yeah, okay. I know it wasn't there last year for sure. Okay. Like, Hinkle, you're like, oh shoot, let's make that move.
Yeah, that's a close. Yeah, okay, good deal. The Kenyon segment is. I'm sorry.
The finals of that, if they were to make it, would be April 2nd through 4th at Hinkle Fieldhouse.
And what's that? The Final Four is there?
Final Four is in Indianapolis from the 2nd through 4th.
Gotcha. The Kenyon segment is sponsored by Greg Hooden at Beachmont Toyota. All right, just a couple things that I have in terms of the keys to the game. The Bearcats just need to be motivated to play. I think plain and simple. You can kind of look at all X's and O's and all this and that. They just have to be motivated to play. And it's a big challenge this time of year, because you've got so many factors. You know, you don't make the NCAA tournament, so naturally some players are disappointed. And you've got to find that motivation and want to go out and win the NIT and end your season on a victory. Because not a lot of teams can say they end their season on a victory. Be one of those teams. I think, like I said, my player to watch is John Newman. And one of the reasons is I think him being a veteran guy, this is his last go-around. He doesn't want this to be his last game on Wednesday. He wants to finish his career on a W. The other thing, too, I think spring break is coming up, right, for UC. Isn't that coming up pretty soon?
Nope. That was last week.
They already had spring break?
Yep, that was the week of the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City.
Oh, well, shoot. Well, good. Okay, well, you don't have spring break interfering. Because I know when I was playing, I don't know when they changed that whole deal, but spring break was factored into the NCAA tournament, so – you know, everyone's like, man, you see all the people you went to school with in college or down in Panama City and all those places in Florida dancing, you know, on the stage with all the girls at MTV Gone Wild or whatever it was. And as much as we love playing basketball, it's like, man, that looks like fun down there. But so I'm glad that's not a factor. But I'll say it one more time. The Bearcats just need to be motivated to play, and John Newman is going to be one of those guys that helps them. Is that your cat again, Neil?
Yep.
he must have liked my point. He's with me. John Newman's going to step up and help the Bearcats win this basketball game. The Kenyon segment, Keys to the Game, was sponsored by Greg Hood and Beachmont Toyota. Come see fellow Bearcat Greg Hood and Beachmont Toyota for all your Toyota needs, cars, trucks, and SUVs. Greg Hood and Beachmont Toyota is ready to help you get into your new Toyota. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. This is where we cover hot topics. All right, fellas, so here's my hot topic. The portal just opened up. Now, last I heard at the Division I level, this was at, let's see, this was at 5:45 today. There were 400 Division I players in the portal. 400 as of 5:45 p.m. today. I was actually talking to a college coach who called me because one of our former AU kids just got in the portal, and he had called me. Now, I think if I'm a betting man, probably in the Division I portal, I'm trying to guess how many. JT, you might have to help me with this. How many kids you or how many student athletes will jump into the portal this year at the Division I level? I'm gonna go around almost 2,000.
Sheesh.
Is that too high?
I mean, I think it was close to like 1,300 last year.
Okay, so I'm gonna go 1,500.
Okay.
What are you gonna go, JT?
It's probably gonna be over, but I'm gonna go under. I'm gonna go 1,200.
Okay, Neil, how many you think are gonna get in the portal? There are already 400 in there, JT, and it just don't.
Yeah, and at 3:25 p.m., there was 221 Division I transfer portal entries. So that's not even counting the Division II, the Division III, all that. I'm going to go with close to 1,300.
Okay. So, and I heard a stat that, like, almost half of those players never land. They don't find a place to go.
And last year, look at that. If I remember right, there was about 1,250 that entered last year. I believe I saw at the beginning of the season, like only like, I think it was like 400 of them found homes,
jeez,
which is crazy.
It's insane.
Which is real crazy.
All right. Now my hot topic question is, I took a long road to get to this, is now that the portal's open and it's open for, is it 45 days?
Am I right? 45 days is this window.
45 days. What do the Bearcats need to get from the portal to take them to that next level next season? JT, start with you.
I would say like a scoring combo guard. Like a pure scorer, somebody you know, like is a pure bucket. Get you a bucket. It's going to get you a bucket. I feel like with the growth of the other guys, pause, that should happen over, you know, this year. I feel like Jizzle is going to be that dude. I feel like Dede is going to be even better next year. I feel like Dan's going to be that guy. And then even I think Raybon is going to be solid. But I think you get a veteran guy that can come in and average 12 to 15 points and can get you a bucket, man, whether mid-range drive or the three ball. And I just think, you know, the gift and the curse, you know, I thought, you know, CJ Frederick would be that guy, but, you know, his injuries, you know, just wouldn't allow him to be great like how, you know, people would expect. You know, I feel bad for him, but I think they need somebody that can just flat out go get a bucket. They don't have to be initiators of the offense, just be able to get the ball on the wing and operate, pull up jump shot game, drive to the hole, and just do their thing. So that's the main thing. I think they'll probably need like a tweener big / you know, 4-3 guy too, you know, just to come in and be like, you know, rebounds. It might be okay. I would say another big guy, because just depending, you know, on what happens with portal life and all that stuff, you know, who knows the Bearcats, but I say a combo guard and maybe another big guy that's very good defensively and can score as well.
Okay. All right. Neil?
Yeah, I'll kind of go with JT on the scoring guard, kind of the wing caliber. Obviously, you lose John Newman, so obviously that's a big loss. And then you're wondering who will kind of fill in that role. But obviously, you look out there, you're probably going to go for another guard who is capable of getting you that 10 to 12 points per game and can really get you 4 to 8 rebounds if you need it as a wing player, depending on the night. I think that's going to be a big one for them. But obviously, too, and then you lose a big in Odi Oguama, who is out of eligibility. So kind of the same thing with JT, get that stretch big. Obviously, whether it be a more like a 4 than a 3 or a 4 kind of caliber. Obviously, you don't need a true big because you still have Aziz Bandego, Victor Lockin, and Jamil Reynolds, all with eligibility remaining. So I think you go out there and you get a stretch 3 to 4 guy who can play great defense, can score the ball when need be. And then on top of getting a scoring guard, I think those are the two main things you need, because everybody knows right now, no one knows if CJ Frederick still has the extra year of eligibility left, but no one knows what could happen despite missing this whole season with an injury. It kind of leads that next season into uncertain. No one knows if he's going to return. No one knows what's next for him. So overall, you have to throw that into consideration as well, that CJ Frederick still has that year available for him if he wants it. So, but overall, I think you go with the scoring kind of guard, whether that be a two guard that can get you 10 to 12 points a night. And then you get a traditional 3 to 4 long, big man pause that helps you there in the front court as well.
Okay. I see with the pause usage. The Twyman segment is sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. And listen, Neil, you made an interesting point about CJ. I next podcast, or eventually we'll get to the point, whether it's next podcast or towards the end of the whenever the Bearcats end up winning an NIT championship, we'll break down this roster, maybe kind of go through, you know, what we think of the roster. Will anybody jump into the portal? Will CJ come back? We can kind of do a whole breakdown of that. But for now, in terms of the portal, I'm in agreement. You know, I've always thought, like, how do we replace John Newman? Like,
it's going to be very hard.
Man, it's going to be very, very difficult.
Very hard.
Is that something – I mean, is it going to be difficult to find a guy like that in the portal? Is it you're hoping that one of the guys that's on this current roster kind of transforms into a John Newman type and can consistently build to get to that? Because, you know, a John Newman guy – doesn't just pop up in college year one. John Newman guy is somebody that is built over the years. You know what I mean? That is a veteran. That is a veteran mindset. That's just years of experience and sweat equity built into somebody like John Newman. So I don't know how we replace that, but looking at, you know, depending on what CJ does, I'd like to see another shooter, man. We've got to just do better from the perimeter on shooting, kind of open things up inside. JT, I like what you said about, you know, getting that go get a bucket. Guy that flat out get you a bucket, man. When we're down or we need that bucket to put us over the top. Like, let's say you're up by like 6.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, and you need that guy to just give that dagger. Right, and just finding that guy as well. So, but I think when we break down the roster, you know, whether it's next episode or the one after that, we'll kind of dive into that. It'd be interesting to get your guys' thoughts on who you think will potentially jump in the portal, who's definitely staying, how you envision their role improving. Because I don't know about you guys, but I've got an idea who I think all is going to come back and some suspicions on one guy or another, but you just never know what goes through these kids' minds, man. I'm sitting there on Twitter earlier today, just kind of looking through to see who's jumping in the portal, and some kids that played in the greater Cincinnati area, high school basketball players that are in college now. And some of them got in the portal, and I'm like, man, I never thought he was going to get in the portal. Thought he liked this school and thought he was doing well, but it goes to show you, man, you never know. And then, if you do have a surprise, which I don't think the Bearcats are going to have a surprise, that a guy that jumps in the portal, but then you have to adjust. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
You got to go.
I mean, look at it. Look at it. Like last year, heading into this season, Micah Adams-Woods jumped in the portal and no one really expected it last minute. I mean, weighed the options. The portal opened. You saw the couple guys enter, and then all of a sudden it went kind of quiet for a few days. And then, oh, surprise, Micah Adams-Woods is in the portal.
Right, right. You just you never know what factors in. I'll say something without giving away the young man's name, but a kid I know was playing college basketball. This is this year. This is actually today. Doing very well. His team, his college team, was, I mean, they had a great record this year. He started, did great. He just got in the portal. And that's why a college coach called me earlier today. I was like, what? And I'm like, man, his girlfriend lives in Cincinnati. Family's all here. I mean, he's trying to get closer. Plain and simple. I don't think it has anything to do with the school he's at. I think he just wants to be closer.
Dang.
You know,
I think I got an idea of who you're talking about, but I'm not going to say his name.
Yeah, let's not say any names. Some confidential stuff with this particular kid. But yes. It's just crazy. You just never know, man. You don't. You know, you see a kid, you watch a kid. We keep calling them kids, JT, even though they're young men. I don't mean to call them kids, but you never know what's going through these young people's minds and what's going on outside of their particular sport. So I have to factor in all those things. But it's going to be, I think, an interesting offseason, JT, for this Bearcat team because it's NCAA or nothing next year.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I was worrying about, but I think it'll work out. But it's just like, man, they had the opportunities to kind of, you know, ease that pain and didn't happen. Yeah. But yeah, next year it's NCAA or bust. NIT 3 years in a row is woo.
But it's also interesting to note, too, this offseason in the portal is completely different from last offseason due to how the two-time waiver process ended out. Like, there's a couple guys who can go in there right away and be immediately eligible next season, so where they don't have to worry about these kids getting these waivers or not. They will know for certain heading into the portal, oh, this person's eligible, and we don't have to go through this waiver process for another year.
So what is the process now? Like, is it – I know, like, when you graduate, you're good.
If you were a two-time transfer already, in this case, well, they went through Aziz Bandego, Jamil Reynolds, a guy like Jared Hensley, who transferred out of Cincinnati onto his third school, Raekwon Battle, whoever was involved in that case, they are now technically allowed to transfer out again with no repercussions due to how that temporary restraining order passed through. They got access to finish this season, and they're allowed to transfer again if they would like to with no repercussions while this thing plays out.
Mm. So they got to wait until the final board and stuff is done. So they got to
they want to transfer again after this season, and they're already on their second or third school, and would technically, if they would need another waiver after following this season, they would be good to go.
Jared Hensley is currently at his third school.
He would not need a waiver.
He could jump in the portal right now and go to the fourth school, correct?
Yep, well, he's already in the portal, but yeah, he can jump in and he'll be immediately eligible.
Wow.
Damn. Yep.
It's crazy, but that's how that situation panned out, was going to the court case. They gave the temporary restraining order, then they lifted it. With the injunction that the NCAA came to agreement with, is now that they could transfer out following this season and be able to play game one next season.
I think I have to get long winded, but I think like now, like after this stuff is clear, they got to have a hard date. You get one free transfer, you get one legit transfer, and then if you graduate, you get your transfer.
There's definitely going to be changes in the transfer process.
But the thing is, what the NCAA did wrong with Jamil and Aziz, if they change the rule retroactively, besides being like, okay, we changed the rule as of this date, and if you were in there, you gotta reap the repercussions, or you know what I mean, of going in, which that was dumb on them. Like, why would you do that and then backdate it to people that were in there 6 months ago? essentially. Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's what the NCAA did, trying to strong arm people, which was dumb. And I understand why people was arguing it, because it's like, yeah, you can't do that. But I feel like once they do it, they do have to do it where, like, you get one freebie. You know what I'm saying? You get one effort. You could be moody, I'm out, or coach did something, whatever, you out. But after that, I think they gotta do that, because NIL and everything, I think that'll keep it. People still gonna dip, but I think that's the best thing the NCAA can do, personally.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been back and forth on a lot of things in relation to the portal and how it should function. And you know, I think back to when I played, and I don't want to be that guy that goes back when I played.
Yeah, back in my day.
But no, if you think about it, look at the Bob Huggins era of guys. When you look at a Kenyon Martin, a Jason Maxiel, Eric Hicks, those guys, all those guys I name right now, if we called them right now and I said, hey, did you want to transfer after your first, second year? All of them be like, hell yeah, I want it out. But yeah, they stuck it out.
Yeah.
And look where it landed them.
Yeah. You
know what I mean? Like, I mean,
yeah.
Those were guys that put in the time and got better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I was like, man, I wish for those days, but it's just not like that anymore.
Nah, it's not. It's not. I think they get the one. I think you get the one, and if you graduate, you get another.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way to give some resemblance to that. So then, because if you only got one, you're like, man, I ain't ahead of schedule on graduating. You're like, man, I'm going to just sit this out. And then if you feel like after your second year, it ain't going how you want, you could be like, all right, I'm going to do this year, graduate, come back out. You know what I mean? And do something else. So I feel like that's a way for coaches to get stability. I mean, sometimes kids are getting pushed out too. So it's a heck of a thing. It's just, I think overall, it got to be some kind of stuff, because kids are going out in the portal just because it's cool, and then they're not getting picked back up. Like, it's like you go into the abyss. Like, so if you can stay at a school, no matter what kind of school it is, I think it's wise. People think, oh, they're better. They're getting the wrong information sometimes, and it's bad. You don't got a good support system around you. Just I'm in the portal, and it's like, nah, then you're not getting picked up, you know? So some people probably don't want to, I mean, occasions it's a yin and yang of both. It's sometimes people get pushed out, some people just not, you know, just overvaluing certain stuff. So yeah, we can have a whole conversation about this, but I think it's one, they get one, they gotta do a hard rule, don't backdate anything on nobody, give them one, and then I think everything will be cool. I think it would have already been working smoother if NCAA just stopped not working being assholes and trying to backdate on people.
Yeah, and listen, man, I tell you, I think some of these kids, JT, you hit on the head, sometimes they get bad information. So let's say you're at the University of Cincinnati and you're hearing from, I don't know, four or five other Division I schools, and one of them says, hey, if you get in the portal, I'm going to offer you the scholarship. You could come here. That happens. And then a kid will jump in the portal, and that school notices somebody else jumps in the portal. They want more than that kid they told to jump in the portal. And then that kid's left out to dry.
Yeah.
That's the way the game goes sometimes. I know a kid that happened to in particular.
Yeah.
School told him to get in, and then he got in, and they didn't take him. It's like, whoa.
Crazy.
But hey, next. Let's save this for the last podcast. Let's break down the entire roster and get your thoughts, besides the seniors, but the returning guys, and get thoughts on what they need to improve on. Will they stay? Will they get in the portal? Let's do. I'm interested to hear some of you guys' breakdowns. Cool?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, next pod is on. The Twyman segment was sponsored by Visionary Cleaners. Visionary Cleaners is a locally owned company by former Bearcats student athletes. They specialize in high-quality commercial cleaning of businesses, apartment, and pre- and post-construction cleans. They can be reached at 513-388-7816 or contact online, visionarycleaners.com. Fellas, this concludes another great podcast. Thanks to all of our sponsors, Donahue Accounting Services, Smart Dog Solutions, Greg Hood and Beachmont Toyota, and Visionary Cleaners. You're listening to the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast presented by Donahue Accounting Services. For friendly expert tax advice whenever you need it, come to Donahue Accounting Services, a leading accounting firm in Cincinnati, Ohio. Our top-notch accountants strive to help you resolve all your financial and tax issues. Call Donahue Accounting Services today for a free consultation at 513-528-3982 or visit online, DonahueAccountingService.com. We want to thank all the Bearcat fans out there for listening to another episode of the Bearcat Tip-Off Talk podcast. Go Bearcats!